coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, September 14th, 2022. I want to thank you for joining me today. I've got an information-packed segment, news brief, news segment for you. Obviously, you know the news, including the fact that, including and especially the fact that Mike Lindell, the FBI, is essentially served him with a search warrant in the drive-through at a Hardee's. There's a couple of things that people are not talking about that, and I want to get into the extremely important, not what you're going to hear elsewhere, my take on it based on conversations I've had with a number of individuals since yesterday, last night, that is. And it's you're going to want to stick with me and hear this out. Because, again, this is asymmetric stuff. This is stuff that you're not going to hear elsewhere. All right. A couple of different things. The FBI paid for Russian disinformation to frame President Trump. We know that. Durham, people are getting excited, pretty excited about Durham's latest filings. This appeared recently, or I think it was today, actually, in the Federalist. And I don't get really excited about the Durham investigation simply because, look, this Durham investigation has been going on and on and on and on and on. And I got to tell you what, we have not seen, aside from the Sussman a slap on the wrist, we haven't seen much of anything of consequence coming from Durham. But there are a couple of key validations. I don't know how else to say this. Validations from the investigation itself. The primary source for the Russian disinformation, or the Russian connection with Donald Trump, is a paid confidential informant or confidential human source with the FBI. All right. Our federal government paid for Russian disinformation to frame the President of the United States. Now think about that. Okay. The reason I open with this is because what we are seeing now is because this is becoming more and more, things are happening. Many people's eyes are opening up or being opened up. Yeah, that this is a problem. Now, it's not like this is new, but what is new, and again, this is important for everyone to understand, in my belief, what is new is the information is getting out there more, that we are making a difference. And when I say we, I want to include each and every one of you. And I also want to thank each and every one of you, because without you, I'd be talking to myself. And you know, I don't like to do that, obviously. But seriously, you are out there spreading the information. You are out there spreading, posting this show on places like Gab and Getter and Truth Social and other social media and Parler. Thank you. I just want to thank you for posting this show, the link to this show. Go to HagmanReport.com, click on the episode for the current day, and post it. I really appreciate when people spread the word about this, and we are growing the numbers. I took a look at the numbers for the last couple of segments that we've done, and I've got to tell you, they are actually doubling, and yesterday I think they tripled in terms of the penetration that we have. So thank you so much for that. But the information is key here. Danchenko is the confidential human source that I referenced, by the way. So just so you know, now the FBI had previously, you can go to the Federalist and read this, but the FBI had previously targeted Danchenko, which was the primary source for Christopher Steele as a possible Russian agent. But after discovering this, Danchenko's identity as Steele's subsource number one, rather than investigate whether Danchenko had been feeding Steele Russian disinformation, the FBI paid Danchenko as a confidential human source. Now, I've got to tell you this. Okay, back in a prior life as a confidential human source and operational informational asset for the Department of Justice and FBI, look, I understand how this works. I never accepted money from them. But I worked with them on large corporate fraud cases and other cases and such. But the bottom line here is understanding how this works. Now, the article in the Federalist, rather than me read or cite any more, I would urge everyone to go through this because it's filled with a lot of, I don't want to say necessarily surprising information, but certainly information that that would help, I think, everyone understand how deep the deception is. By the way, my preview monitor does have a dialog box that needs to be shut in order to be. I've got a desktop-looking preview monitor. Eric the Tech is the man of the hour, the man of the day, the man of the week, Eric the Tech. Let's have a hand. Vast studio audience, let's have a hand for Eric the Tech. All right, sit down. Thank you very much. Yeah, they're throwing their various items of clothing, the women are, at Eric the Tech. All right, there's that. Because, and here's where it gets dangerous too when we're talking about this. The more the information that the information comes out, the more dangerous things become with respect to potential false flags. And when I say false flags, I'm talking about government actions to take away from the fact that the weaponized Department of Justice and FBI are behind everything. You would think that would be kind of like, well, gee whiz, tell me something I don't already know. But bottom line is that's where we're at. It's just becoming more dangerous out there. And then, of course, we have the CDC. This, by way of Epic Times, CDC director admits agency gave false information on, and I'm going to use the words in the title, COVID-19 vaccine safety monitoring. Again, a very important piece of information. The CDC, along with the FDA, lied to the American people. And the people in President Trump's inner circle at the time that this broke, I'm going to tell you right now, are responsible for leading the certain people down the wrong path. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention acknowledged publicly for the first time that they gave false information about vaccine safety monitoring. Now, this article has citations, it has references to reports, it has a number of things that this is not speculation. This is dead on information about what really took place and what has been taking place. So I really would urge you to check our program. Go to HagmanReport.com, open up the program dialog box, description box, and click on the link and read that particular segment. I'm telling you, it's really worth it. In fact, let me just say this. I'm going to cite from this because I think it's that important. And I've got so much to get else to get into, but the CDC performed PRR analysis between March 25, 2022 through July 31 of that same year. Walensky said, CDC also recently addressed a previous statement made to the Epoch Times to clarify PRR were not run between February 26, 2021 to September 30, 2021. So her agency had promised in several documents starting back as early or in early 2021 to perform this type of analysis, this proportional reporting ratio. That's what PRR stands for, a proportional reporting ratio, on reports submitted to VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which it helps manage, by the way. But the agency said in June that it did not perform PRRs. They lied. Now, I chose not to play a number of videos, Rand Paul v. against Fauci, using his own words against him, that kind of buttresses this information. Just because, look, you can find this information out. Anyone can research this, but the but this Epoch Times article is really, really a stellar article. If you want to show this to your friends and family, I would urge you. It's not behind any paywall, and I would urge you to do so, because that it's that important. Now, there's so many other things. Here's my program prep, and take your time, by the way, Eric the Tech, on what you're doing there. Mike Lindell, I want to talk about that, because Brandon House, of course, a friend of mine, friend of the program, of course, Mike Lindell uses Brandon's studio, and they're good friends. When this happened last year, yesterday, and when he appeared with Brandon, I was given a lot of information that hasn't made the public venue, and it's information that ties together certain things. Now, what happened with Mike Lindell, just to be clear, that whole situation. Thank you, sir, for fixing the preview monitor. Appreciate that. And I actually kind of messed that up because I pressed the wrong button. I always do that. And basically killed the power to the monitor, and then had to reboot back up and all sorts of things, but he fixed it, so thank you. But this has to do with the Justice Department seizing phones of, well, let me back up. The seizure of Mike Lindell's phone has to do with the machines, the case in Colorado, the Secretary of State in Colorado. It has nothing to do with January 6th, but it has to do with the voting irregularities and the election irregularities, of course, that Mike Lindell pointed out. And what I will do as well, if you didn't catch Brandon House's interview with Mike Lindell, and he was kind of rattled yesterday, and I don't blame the guy. What I'm going to do is I want to put, if you watch the entire interview, you're going to find some important information about their findings, okay, in their investigation, that is a clear and clearly and concisely shows exactly how the machines, and especially in Colorado, remember Tina Peters, okay, who was actually arrested because of the Secretary of State there, or detained, I should say, exactly how all of this went down. He's got the goods. Mike Lindell's got the goods. And people may say, well, no, he doesn't, because if he did, we'd know about it. Well, the reason it's not known in many cases is because the cases are dismissed for lack of standing or for other process reasons as opposed to evidentiary reasons. So, but this connects everything. It, also, Bernard Kerik. Look, I understand his history. Former commissioner NYPD, 9/11. Look, I get all of that. But Bernard Kerik was in the crosshairs too. And then I want to talk about Alex Jones. I want to play a little bit about with Tucker Carlson. And then I want to hit a little bit about the southern border and about the terror on the border that's coming inland and some other issues about the decline of this country. By decline, I mean the managed decline by the people in power taking our country down. But we have to lay this all out, connect the dots, make sure that we are accurate in our statements, and I think we are. So let's do this. Let's go to the, I'm going to lay the groundwork. I think everyone out there, and especially you ladies out there, will relate to this video. If you haven't heard the name Lisa Gallagher before, I'm going to play a 2-minute video. This is from Tucker Carlson to lay the foundation for everything else that will follow in this news segment. Please listen to this woman, Lisa Gallagher. You don't know her. I don't know her. She is no one special in terms of promoting any kind of election theft theory, election stealing theory. All she did was make a posting on social media. That's kind of the backstory. Now, this video is only a couple of minutes long. I mean, less than 2 minutes long, roughly, about 2 minutes long. But this is Lisa Gallagher with Tucker Carlson. And please pay attention to her words. And as you listen to her, keep her story in the back of your mind for the rest of this news brief and this show. Okay, here it is.
Lisa Gallagher, as we told you a moment ago, is one of the many Trump supporters who woke up to an FBI raid earlier this month, and we are grateful that she's willing to join us to tell us about it. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on. So I just want to be clear that you have not committed a crime of any kind. I don't think you've ever been accused of a crime. You weren't even at the Capitol on January 6th. I don't think you're even in Washington. Tell us how you felt when Joe Biden's FBI showed up with guns at your home the morning after his speech.
I was terrified, and I'll be honest with you, when my daughter woke me up telling me there were three armed FBI officers at my door, I thought she was joking, and I immediately tried to throw clothes on. I called my husband. I was crying. My knees were shaking, and even though I knew I'd done nothing wrong, after seeing Joe Biden's speech the night before, I thought, oh my God, this is political, and I was frightened. I truly thought, they can take me out of here in handcuffs. And I thought, yes. I'm in my bedroom. I thought, am I not coming home? So I went outside and I said, gentlemen, you're scaring me. And they proceeded to tell me that they were given an anonymous tip that I was at the Capitol on January 6th.
Even though, of course, as we said, they knew you weren't because they had facial recognition software and there's no evidence. And it's almost 2 years ago. Do you know who this anonymous tip, this snitch who turned you into federal law enforcement for supporting Trump on Facebook might be?
No, I know nothing. And I invited them into my home so I could look at my phone and my calendar. And I have subsequently called the FBI office in Newark to just document or know for sure that it really was FBI agents at my home. And it was. And they said it was an anonymous tip, but they won't tell me anything else.
Yeah, because there are not enough law enforcement concerns right now with 107,000 Americans dying of fentanyl. Last year. Lisa Gallagher, I know it takes bravery to come on and explain what happened to you. I think only when people do that will it end. And so I'm doubly grateful that you did this for us tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. That, again, that's the foundation for the rest of the show. Because Lisa Gallagher, not at the Capitol, not politically outspoken, someone gave a tip to the local FBI office, local to her. FBI responded, scared the family, and she had to prove that she was not there. Again, let that resonate for a while. All right. Yesterday, Mike Lindell, as he was coming back from a hunting trip with a friend, we pulled into Hardee's, the fast food restaurant Hardee's. Suddenly, he found himself surrounded by vehicles. And he didn't know if they were bad guys or bad guys, meaning the FBI or a gang or what. Well, as it turned out, it was the FBI. If we can go to page number one, this is on Citizen Free Press. This was published this morning. FBI surrounds Mike Lindell's vehicle, seizes a phone at Minnesota Hardee's. Now, again, this is about the Colorado, the machines and the Colorado cast vote system. Emerald Robinson interviewed Mike Lindell. This page, by the way, has got, I think, two or three videos on it. If you don't mind, Eric the Tech, let's play video number one for, again, a foundational understanding of what happened. This is with Emerald Robinson. Go ahead and play that one.
MyPillow Chief Executive Mike Lindell says that federal agents seized his cell phone and questioned him about what prosecutors say was a deceptive scheme to breach voting system technology across the country.
The FBI has just raided the guy who sells pillows on this channel, not because the pillows were bad, but because they don't like who we voted for.
I'm sure you've heard by now that our own Mike Lindell is the latest target in the campaign against Donald Trump. FBI blocked Mike at a Hardee's in Minnesota and seized his personal phone. The former president staunchly criticized the move on Truth Social, saying, "We're now living in a weaponized police state, rigged elections and all," adding that our country is the laughingstock all over the world. Now, more reaction continued to roll in by the minute, noting the two-tiered system of justice. Judicial Watch's Tom Fitton said, "Carloads of FBI agents swarmed MyPillow's Mike Lindell, but Hunter Biden travels on Air Force One." Another Twitter user said, quote, "They'd rather investigate Mike Lindell's phone than Hunter Biden's laptop because Mike has the evidence of the biggest fraud in U.S. history, and that can bring down the Biden presidency."
All right, now pause that for a second, because I do want to comment on here. Hunter Biden, Air Force One. Okay, Hunter Biden, I cannot think. The evidence that is available to law enforcement about the crack, not just usage, but the intent to distribute there. Okay, that's that kind of hangs in the perversity column. The Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Valerie, Jim Biden, all of the family connections, the enrichment, personal enrichment of the Biden family from enemies of the United States, crimes that are documented, and the FBI has done nothing. That's what that segment with that little bit with Emerald Robinson was talking about with respect to Hunter Biden. And again, if you haven't seen the video, My Son Hunter, not only watch it, but spread the word to your friends. Go ahead and let this play for just a little bit longer here.
Times August, another account on Twitter said this, had this observation. So let me get this straight. The FBI went after Mike Lindell, a pillow salesman, faster than they did for any single associate of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell's network of sex traffickers. Yeah. And joining us now for the firsthand account is Mr. Mike Lindell himself. Mike, first off, how are you doing this morning, and have there been any updates since last night?
Well, I'm a little tired. I was on the phone with the media's calling me again. All the media outlets. It's amazing. So that's a good thing. I've talked to even my hometown newspaper. I said, "You guys don't call me when we have all the evidence. What's up with that?" You know, so I've scolded all the journalists as they've called me, like, "Where are you been? Now you want to call about some dirt?" And So I was on the phone with the media till about 1 o'clock Central Time a.m. And I started this morning. Emma Brown from the Washington Post was the first one to call me this morning at 7 a.m. So it's been nonstop. But, you know, the updates are, you know, I'm getting, my lawyers are working on to get the phone back. I wasn't going to give it to him. I said, I'd rather you arrest me than take my phone. I mean, we pull up in this Hardee's and they box us in, me and my friend. We're coming back from a hunting trip. Four FBI gets out, four agents, three cars. And you know, they said, we just want to talk to you. And I said, well, okay. I said, why don't you arrest me? You know, but, you know, what are you stopping me for? Well, then they asked me about, of course, the Dominion voting machines. Asked me about, you know, we talked about Dennis Montgomery's evidence that's in Nevada that I'm getting, you know, maybe they're afraid of that, of getting that lifted so the whole world can see all the evidence. And then they asked me about the Mesa County image that's up on Frank's Beach in Mesa, Colorado. This is, everybody, this is what's inside the Dominion machine. This is what's inside all the voting
machines.
That's
key.
All the corruption. Or Emerald, the other thing was, I said, I suppose you guys are here because the cast vote records came in across the country. Kind of seems suspicious timing that all these cast vote records come in and they're 97% of them say there was machine manipulation, computer manipulation in the 2020 election.
Okay, let's cut that right there. Folks, the link to that page will be, again, in the program description box only at HagmanReport.com. Now, here's the thing, a couple of things. You have to ask yourself, how did the FBI come to locate Mike Lindell at a Hardee's, away from his home, coming back from a different state to his home? How did that happen? Here's how it happened. See these things? This is an iPhone. This is a tracker. Everywhere I go, I see people carrying these. And please, folks, if you're listening to this program, do me a favor. Get a... Eric the Tech, what do they call those bags? Faraday bags, I guess, or... RF blocking bags. Is that right? Okay. Thank you. When you travel, put your phone into a bag that does not give out your signal. And don't use your phone. Even turning it off will give away information. I will never, and because, well, please do that. If you do nothing else from what I'm saying today, please do that. Now, the reason, why not just leave it home? Why have one at all? If you do have a smartphone, many people do because they do banking and stuff on it or whatever. Okay. It makes life easier, family photos and such. But the reason I say put it in a Faraday or an RF blocking bag and make sure and make real sure that the bag in fact works. It's not, you know, it's not a China made piece of crap, but make sure that you are not associated with your phone, the location of your phone. And the only reason I say take your phone with you, if you've got an iPhone, as opposed to a burner flip phone or whatever, is let's say you have a medical emergency, you can actually take it out of the bag at that point and contact someone and contact 911 or whatever the case might be. Personally, I prefer leaving this thing somewhere else in a Faraday bag in my office and using a burner phone. That's my personal approach to things, because that's how they found him and that's how they got him. You are being surveilled all of the time. And by the way, if you don't think that the camera and mic are active, even when you're not using them, they are. Trust me, they are. Okay. So that's at least one takeaway. So please do that. If or again, buy yourself a burner flip phone, whatever. But then again, there are some risks with that. But please do that. Also, to anyone who does business electronically in banking, I don't use a phone for any of that. But even despite that, using a computer for your banking, I was just notified by my bank, and I got to tell you this: they had to put a freeze on my entire bank account. Apparently, someone was going to Central America on my dime and overdrew my account, caused all sorts of havoc. So please be very, very careful if you do electronic banking as well. That's kind of just an aside. Okay.
I thought you said I could use it.
Yeah, Eric the Tech. Yeah, to a country that, the non-extraditable country, but you were going to Bimini, and what the heck's that about? Anyway, never mind. Okay. Rather than me play the segment or have played the segment with Brandon House and Mike Lindell, just watch it on your own, okay? The link will be in the program description box. Now, why do I bring this up? There's more to this story than there's just more to this story than you'll ever know. This, even though this is about something else other than January 6th, this comes up in the January 6th circle of interest, all right? Because lumped in, and pay attention, please understand this, lumped in with the so-called election deniers are the people who are openly challenging, either through direct litigation or through social media posting, the veracity of the 2020 presidential election. Now, I do have something to say about the possibility, the constitutional possibility of the seating of alternate electors. As crazy as that sounds in 2022, and I don't think anything should be sounding crazy to you, but can you imagine, and let me ask you this question, can you imagine in your wildest dreams having the 2020 election nullified because of fraud? Remember, fraud vitiates everything in the legal venue, and having President Trump brought back in. Now, look, I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but I want you to think about that for a second. And what are they, what are the communists, the leftist communists, what are they so afraid of that they have weaponized the Department of Justice, the FBI, and I will add the IRS, who are coming after you and coming after your guns and coming after you? Why have they activated all of these agencies at this time? Is it just because of the midterms? Oh, that's a big part of it, but there's something else going on in the background. I'm going to have more on that in upcoming episodes. So just hang with me on that. All right, I want to move to, again, I mentioned Bernard Carrick. I want to play this clip. Again, all of this is related. Let's just walk down this path together. This is a clip of Bernard Carrick. The FBI knocked on his door with a subpoena. Okay, let's just watch. I don't care what you think of Carrick. I don't care. I have mixed feelings about him. Look, I get it. He was NYPD commissioner. He was 9/11. I get all that. But put that aside for a moment. It could be John Doe. But understand what is taking place here. And understand the wide net that is being cast. Remember Lisa Gallagher. But let's play Video One, Bernard Carrick. Here it is.
We're learning more about the Department of Justice's ongoing harassment campaign. According to the Gateway pundit, Joe Biden's Department of Justice seized the phones of two top advisors for President Donald Trump. In total, the DOJ has targeted at least 40 Trump allies with subpoenas. People like Stephen Miller, Brian Jack, Dan Scavino have all received subpoenas related to January 6th and Trump's Save America PAC. Oddly enough, though, the New York Times, Washington Post, and CNN continue to get tipped off, you know, by anonymous sources regarding these subpoenas. The Times reporting that Boris Epstein and Mike Roman also had their phones seized by the DOJ. And yesterday, if you recall, we had former NYPD Commissioner Bernie Carrick on to join us to discuss how the Patriot Act led to this new surveillance state we now live in. We later learned after the show that Bernie Carrick had also received a subpoena from the DOJ, and he joins us now to discuss. Bernie, wow. I mean, I was a little shocked after you'd been with us yesterday that we learned the FBI agent showed up at your front door last week. You weren't home. So tell us what happened next and how you were eventually served.
This account's important.
I was out of town, got a call from the FBI. They said they were in my driveway, actually. I'd just spoken to my family. My daughter was a wreck. And I told him, I said, listen, I said, what are you looking for? He said he wanted to speak to me about my prior position with the legal team. I told him I'd be back up in, up north, and I talked to him when I got there. I was back the next morning, called him. They showed up at my house. Two agents came inside, one waited outside, two different vehicles. And, you know, he said he wanted to talk to me about my my time with the election campaign, with the election fraud investigation. And I told him, I said, listen, I have a great admiration for you guys, for what you do, the line agents of the FBI. I said, but I have no trust, faith, or confidence in your leadership. So I'm not going to be talking to you at all. If you want to talk to my attorney, you can do that. Have your prosecutors talk to my attorney. At which time he handed me a subpoena. The thing I thought was strange about this was that they know I have counsel. They know that, but they sent these agents anyway, which is pretty disturbing. You know, I've been doing this a long time. When I looked at the subpoena, there's over 120 people mentioned that in that subpoena. I don't know 90% of them.
Okay.
I've never
heard. Cut it right there. That's all I wanted you to hear. A couple of things of note. Number one, he was they knew that he had legal representation. So here's how, for those unfamiliar, here's how the process works. If you're engaged in any kind of litigation, or if you're the subject or perhaps the target of litigation, and you have lawyered up or have a lawyer, any kind of subpoena or any kind of legal paperwork is given to your attorney. It is not personally served upon you. It is done through your lawyer. That's how it's supposed to work. So number one, this was done with deliberation to upset his wife and his family, to terrorize his wife and his family, and further inconvenience Carrick himself. All right. Remember, the process is the punishment. This is not supposed to work this way. In this country, if you have an attorney, all of the paperwork is served to your attorney. That's what you pay your attorney for. To have this happen is nothing more than Gestapo, Stasi-like tactics to upset the family, to have this, to make a psychological impact on the family. And believe me, I know what that's like. having been through it myself, I know what it's like. So understand this. They are not playing by the rules, obviously, and their tactics are Gestapo-like, and it's by Merrick Garland. But more importantly, it is by the Biden regime led by the Muslim-in-chief, Obama, and every single one of his associates. And they are answerable, of course, to the people at the WEF, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR, and on, you get the idea. So what does Bernard Kerik have to do with Mike Lindell? Different situations. No, the tactics are the same. The playbook is the same. They're coming after anyone who is associated, not necessarily only with Donald Trump, but with America First. The second thing on this that Bernard Kerik had said, which you've got to understand how important this is. The 100 or more names, and he didn't know any of them, on the record, the subpoena, on the documents, all of those are intended recipients of subpoenas. So this is not even... You know, people think, well, you know, there's some... No. The scope of this, I can't even find the words to describe the scope of this because it is huge. I had a conversation with my wife last night after the show, preparing her for the inevitable. And, you know, she looked at me and God bless her. She said, you know, is it worth it? Do you think it's worth it? She said, I'll stand behind you either way, no matter what. We're in this mm-hmm. together, but is it worth it? And I said, what other choice do we have? Yeah, it's worth it. Look at your grandchildren. And she started tearing up about the grandchildren. And she said, how did we get here? How did we? And of course, she knows. It was more of a rhetorical thing. But folks, prepare yourselves. Because toward the end of this month, and again, I'm going to do a different segment, the program about the end of this month. It's going to... the floodgates of evil will open up, okay? There will be some good things, but the imminent collapse, the societal collapse, but the economic collapse will be there. And right now, I just want to say this. Speaking of economic collapse, prevent economic collapse, your own personal economic collapse. You know, in a different lifetime, I very briefly, I was a captive agent for an insurance company. And one of the things that we were afraid of is competition quotes. We didn't want people to know that there were other carriers out there, other insurance companies out there. Folks, I want to introduce you to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com. You know, a death in the family, a car accident, some sort of disability, whatever, your house burning down, it could be financially devastating to you. Folks, please listen to me. Policy Genius, that's all one word, by the way, Policy Genius. It's not an insurance company. It's a marketplace that helps insurance shoppers understand their options, compare quotes across multiple companies, and buy a policy all in one place. And if you got a captive agent, boy, you mentioned that and they go crazy because, oh, you know, we got the best. Well, Policy Genius, in my view, is the best. Why get life insurance? Look, we pay hundreds of dollars per year to protect our houses, our cars, and other things. But many of us aren't taking those steps to protect families' finances. I just had a friend whose husband passed away, sadly, and the one great thing was the fact that he had the foresight to ensure his life. And by doing so, her standard of living will not change. She will be able to stay in the same house and not have to work, raise the children the way, as if he was still there. Obviously, she's going to miss him, and she misses him now. But the fact of the matter is, it saved their bacon policy genius. Look, if you think you have coverage through work, think again, because it's probably inadequate. Why get covered now? Life insurance typically gets more expensive as you age, so it's much smarter to get insurance sooner rather than later. I believe in this company. I've used this company. I have friends and family who have used PolicyGenius.com with great success. Here's the deal. Policy Genius, again, it's an insurance marketplace that makes it easy to compare quotes from the top insurance companies. For example, AIG and Prudential, all in one place to find your lowest rate, lowest price on life insurance. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. Options start at just $17 per month for $500,000 of coverage. Go figure. Just click the link in the description box or head to Policy Genius, all one word, policygenius.com to get personalized quotes in minutes and find the right policy for your needs. The licensed agents at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies. And that's a big thing, folks. They're on hand through the entire process to help you understand your options so you can make decisions with confidence. Hey, you know what? Policy Genius does not add on any extra fees. Your personal information is kept private. Policy Genius doesn't sell you your details to third parties. And you know, they have thousands of five-star reviews across Google and Trustpilot. So here's what you have to do. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. I guarantee you, you will be saving a ton. And I like them. They're great people and they're very good at what they do. That's policygenius.com. As I always say, you'll thank me later. All right. Getting back to the issues at hand, just a kind of a little bit of a different bit now. Again, the process is the punishment. Yesterday was day one in the Alex Jones as a defendant trial in Sandy Hook versus Alex Jones in Connecticut. Now, I spent half the night watching about 6.5 hours of day one of the trial. I want to play you a little bit of a clip. This is from, I believe Alex Jones put this together, or InfoWars put this together themselves. This is just about 3 minutes in length, roughly. But listen to the lack of justice. Think about the two-tiered justice system. And remember, the process is the punishment. And also remember, the Constitution, not so much. Here's the clip.
Your Honor, we have a request for a curative instruction. I expect when Alex Jones comes up here, he's going to violate the court's orders. I expect that. I do not expect Attorney Pattis in his opening to try and unwind the default by repeatedly stating and suggesting that Alex Jones was just questioning. Are we going to silence the crazy person in the town square for just, he was doing it by referring to the other events that Alex Jones has questioned. The jury is going to be instructed that Alex Jones intended these statements knowing that they were false. And so we need a curative instruction at the outset, because what Attorney Pattis has done has injected not only politics, but he's injected this idea that Alex Jones was merely questioning when the jury is going to be instructed and the court is determined that he intentionally inflicted emotional distress, that he intentionally lied, that he acted with malice.
I had intended to go as far as I did until I heard the opening statement that my adversaries gave. And this is not an issue. I could have objected at the first sentence. This has nothing to do with stopping Alex Jones. This is a compensatory damage claim. And they went 15 minutes. Stopping Alex Jones is not an element of their damages. They went 15 minutes before they even turned to anything related to Mr. Jones, 35 minutes before they mentioned the family, and then they gave a passing reference to damages. Alex Jones must be stopped, they said. It is our contention that Mr. Jones, that the plaintiffs in this case exaggerate the harm that he caused to him, or that he caused them, and they exaggerated for political reasons. And so if they had not come in and said, stop Alex Jones, that objection and request for a curative instruction might have some teeth. But they're gnawing on their own words right now.
I don't intend to give a curative instruction at this point, but as things develop, and especially if there are issues, further issues, then renew your request, and I would be inclined to do so right in the midst of the witness. And I am going to deal with Mr. Jones when he testifies.
That's understood.
I do expect, as I discussed Attorney Patterson, I thought you were on board with it, I expected to canvass him on the issues that that were off limits.
The law of the case is not complicated, but I do think the court is, we will not object to a canvass. Right.
And I did tell you that if there are issues, I will address contempt on the spot.
Well, I mean, that, I don't
well,
have any
Attorney
reason
Pattis,
to
I'm just telling you,
Judge.
I'm telling you now, I believe you said the last time that you can't remember your exact words, that but something along the lines, I thought, that you weren't going to be able to control what he said. So I'm just laying it out there now, putting everybody on notice. So I know you'll do your job, Attorney Pattis, and
thanks,
explain
Judge.
To him
you can cut that.
What is...
The message is clear, all right? The process is the punishment, but in this case, they have been unable to silence, to stop Alex Jones. So what she said about the sanctions, about the contempt, that's one way, because you know what? In prison, in jail for criminal contempt in a civil matter, that's a real thing. And that could stop Alex Jones. They want to stomp him to the ground. He was in just very quickly yesterday, did not produce Google Analytics that he that InfoWars never even accessed. And of course was cited for contempt for failing to provide Google Analytics that were not available to Alex Jones. So he was sanctioned for that. And the judge said, not only sanctioned, but we're going to use the Google Analytics, or we will stipulate that for that period of time for Sandy Hook, that all of the discussion for Sandy Hook generated a specific amount of income. They're going after his income as well, as you well know. But the fact is, they're throwing out the law books, the Constitution, and everything else in order to not just silence, but potentially incarcerate Alex Jones. That's where this is headed. Now, go back and think about Lisa Gallagher. Alex Jones is different. His head's a lot higher in the crowd, sticking out. Lisa Gallagher, not so much. Playbook, relatively the same. Intimidation, terrorism. We're going to get to Tucker Carlson very, very quickly. Got a couple of clips. He had a great open yesterday. And this is about the deliberate collapse of our society. Again, this is all connecting together. Let's play clip A from Tucker Carlson's open from yesterday. Go ahead.
Imagine dystopia. You hear that word frequently. What does it mean? Picture it in your mind's eye. Dystopia is a world where the police will not protect you. They refuse. And at the same time, you are not allowed to protect yourself. So who does that leave in charge? Who runs a world like that? Well, young men with guns. They're in charge. The cruelest and most violent element of any society. The people with the least to lose. The shortest time horizons, the shallowest reservoirs of impulse control. People like that have all the power. You have no power. And that means that everything you have is theirs. That's the end of civilization. It exists in pockets around the world. Mogadishu, famously. But if you think it's confined to Mogadishu, you haven't been to Chicago lately.
All right. The reference to Chicago is this next clip. It's just a tad longer than the first one. This is about Ryan King. This has some visuals that if you're listening to this by radio, if you can go to PagmanReport.com, click on the video and watch this, okay? But think about this. As your wife, your family are shopping in whatever city you might live. Here's clip two.
Ryan King turned into an alley near the corner of Waubonsia and Oakley to get back to his mother's apartment when a dark colored vehicle pulls up and three young men jump out. King says one of them pointed a gun right in his face, demanding his wallet. And moments later, he says a passerby saw the mugging unfolding and yelled. Instincts and his martial arts training kicked in. And that's when King hit one of the men with an elbow and ran off.
Again, broad daylight, middle of the day, nice neighborhood in one of America's biggest cities. So what happened next? Well, according to reporting by CWB Chicago, just minutes after Ryan King was threatened with death for daring to walk outside in his own neighborhood, Chicago police spotted the gunman's vehicle. But there was nothing they could do about it. Their supervisor ordered them not to pursue it. So the criminals just drove off. And of course, they committed more violent crimes. In the hours after Ryan King was attacked, 16 more armed robberies were reported in the area. Police believe at least two organized armed gangs are now operating with impunity around Bucktown, which means the gangs are in charge now. That's what the collapse of civilization looks like.
All right, quickly, clip number clip C. This is equally important. Hit it.
Know what was happening. Over the 8 years of the Barack Obama administration, the Department of Justice forced more than a dozen police departments around the country to enter into something called dissent decrees. Chicago was one of them. The Obama administration began an investigation into the Chicago Police Department, and they got a dissent consent decree. Now, all of these decrees took the same form. They pronounced police departments guilty of racism if those departments disproportionately interact with African Americans, regardless of whether those interactions were legally justified. In other words, the law is entirely irrelevant to the consent decree, and so is reality itself. Here's a line from the DOJ dissent decree imposed under Obama against Chicago. Quote, raw statistics show that CPD, Chicago Police Department, uses force almost 10 times more often against blacks than against whites. Okay, that's one data point. It's not the whole story. It doesn't begin to tell the whole story. There was no analysis whatsoever about whether the use of force in these specific cases was justified. None. So this is not science. They may have graphs. It's not science. It's some kind of crazed race ideology. It's the equity agenda. And in effect, and this, of course, was the intended effect, these consent decrees have been a disaster for the people of these cities. Even in New Orleans, whose mayor, as we've told you many times, has driven that city, that beautiful city, which is worth saving, right into the sewer. Even the Democratic mayor of New Orleans said recently, and we're quoting, the consent decrees handcuff our officers. That's an understatement. At this point, New Orleans is essentially out of police officers. The median police response time in New Orleans to 911 calls is over 2 hours. Imagine armed people in your home. You call the police. 2 hours. A lot can happen in 2 hours. That's the total collapse of civilization. There's no reason to have a government if the response time is 2 hours. Buy your own guns. Establish your own order. That's where we're going to be very soon.
Let me correct you, Tucker. That's where we are now. We are at that point, which is why, folks, which is why I've been talking about HagmanReport.com/training. Folks, listen to me. We are at the point where 2 hours waiting for police when you are being mugged or robbed or held at gunpoint, it's intolerable, it's unacceptable, but that's by design. So for those of you out there who are so inclined, if you've got the ability in terms of physical ability and have the desire, please go to HagmanReport.com/training. The link is in the program description box. Read about what you can do for you and your family, especially when the police are ours. It used to be, you know, when second counts of police are minutes away. Now it's hours away. All right. The reason I brought from point A, Lisa Gallagher, to that is this is the intended takedown of our nation, folks. The intended takedown. It is happening now. And unless we stop it, well, there is no alternative. We must stop it. Folks, I hope that made sense. Please follow all of the links, do the research. May God bless you. May God protect you tonight and every day. Good night.